World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I'm doodling over here. I got to speak in a church yesterday. You know, it's kind of funny. I realize that we were in Missouri. Most of you know. Hey, welcome. Good Monday morning, December 6th. Tomorrow is the day that'll live in infamy. Most of Americans, school kids, don't even know what the heck that means. What even happened December 7th, 1941. Anyway, I can't remember the last time, really, I had the opportunity to stand in a pulpit and speak to a group of people. Kevin Van Story, God bless him, Faith and New Hope Church there in Neosho. Maybe it's not Neosho, it's out middle of nowhere. Invited me as part of our event this weekend, and I just remembered how much I enjoy that. How much I enjoy. I really enjoyed it. I was honored to be there. Had a great weekend. I'm going to dive into a little bit of this. The Lord's really given me something I think pretty timely for this morning for us to talk about. A lot of great things going on. I sit in the airport a lot this weekend. We went out there Friday, went out to Saturday morning. We went to Missouri, out to Neosho, Missouri, which is just out by Joplin, and did a rally, did an event there, did a huddle with Kevin Van Story, and Randy came up, and Joe Esposito came up, and Ken Wan came up, and you always forget people, but we had about 30, 35 people came and showed up for a huddle there. We just did an afternoon from 12 until 5. And I would suggest those of you out there who maybe are interested in trying to get a huddle up and going, that's a good thing to do. Just kind of 12 to 5 in and out, because what we're folks, we have to realize this, there's a real awakening going on across America, but still those people who are awake still don't know who to trust, And so we did a real soft event for him yesterday. Gave him a little bit of food. Kevin Van Story just did a great job of organizing. But God, I love you guys out there. I love you guys out there. And then on the way home, I was in the airport, and Ray LeBlanc was having a huddle of his own on how to handle communication. Had Gary and a crew in there. I don't know. It's probably 10 or 12 or 15 of them in there talking about cell phones and satellite phones and walkie talkies. And I just kind of, geez, kind of neat. It's like kind of not having to show up to practice and teams practicing without you, you know, that's what we have to do. We are really, really everything, folks, is becoming more and more and more localized. I know you sense that, and I know you feel that. I came home really encouraged because I won a victory. I was on four different planes. I flew from Columbus to, where'd they take me? Chicago, and then Chicago to Springfield. And then I went from Springfield to Charlotte, and then Charlotte to home. And not one time did anybody say anything to me about a mask. Usually when you get on there, those guys, those stewardesses coming by every 5 minutes, sir, up over your nose, sir, up over your nose, sir, please, sir, up over your nose. Didn't have one. Something's going on. Something's going on. Now the policy's still in place, but the harassment wasn't. All right. So cool. That was all good. And I got some things. Weekends like this encourage me. It really, really is encouraged. Rick Simpson. Guess who's Rick? I hadn't seen Rick. I didn't know what happened to Rick ever since we went to a year ago when we went to Washington, D.C. Rick got really sick. I didn't even know it. Do you guys know this kind of stuff's going on? Rick was in intensive care for a couple days. Polly Heath was really, really sick. Mike Heath's mother is really, really sick. Man, there are a lot of people out there who are bearing a lot of burdens, man. And we have to do a good job of keeping up with one another, because whether I want to admit it or not, we have become a fellowship. We really have. And that's what encouraged me, Ray, that you did that yesterday. In fact, just take a minute, Ray, and talk about what you gathered together there last night. Because, hey, folks, the whole idea of putting these Salt and Light brigades together is so that you guys will autonomously work and build your own little crews. And Ray put together a conference call last night about communications. Share with a little bit there, Ray.
Yeah, sure, Coach. We had about 15 of us, and it's a continuation. I was doing Zoom meetings about every couple of weeks, and I got lackadaisical about it in the last month. But I wanted to pick it back up last night and spark a little interest. And I had just received myself a satellite phone in the mail I ordered from Steve Quill over a month ago. It came in a couple of days ago, and I have no clue what to do with it, how to operate it, the connections. So I thought that'd be a good opportunity to open it up across the Salt and Light Brigade team and find out who's got one, how to use it, how to operate it, whether we should use it between satellite and cell phone usage or anything. And I know one thing about using a satellite, that I have to be outside to use it. So I can't run outside and call Coach up. If he's inside with his, he's not going to get my message. So these are the details we need to coordinate with and say, hey, at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, we're going to be outside and we're going to test our satellite phones.
Right.
Up and done yet. So we need to have that in place.
Yeah, because folks, one of the points that Ray made, I didn't even think about it. If Ray were to call me, I have a satellite phone. If Ray were to call me on my satellite phone, I'm inside the house. I'm not even going to know it, right? Yeah. So we have to. It was great. It was a great meeting on coordination and some shortwave radios and some different forms of CB radios, forms of communication. It was really, really healthy, Ray. And I just want to salute you for grabbing the bull by the horns and running and doing that, because it. Communication is going to get tougher and tougher, I believe. Amen. So, again, Ray, appreciate you stepping out and doing that. Let me make a couple notes here real quickly. The Women Warrior Weekend, this is coming up this weekend. Today is the last day. You got to let us know, friends. We got to order food. We got to do a lot of different things. If you're going to make it, if you are going to come, would you please register so my wife will know exactly how many to prepare for? All right? And then Saturday morning, those of you up in the Cleveland area, I'm going to be in Medina County Fairgrounds at a Patriot group speaking. What time is it? 8:30. You say, Coach, your wife's got this thing going on. Yeah, well, I'll be at both. And golly, Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade Communication Training Day. This stuff does my heart good, because this is what we have to do. We have to all get on the same daggone page. So, come on, if you come into the Warrior training, let Michelle know so she can sleep at night. Just kidding. Polly, I told you I was sick. With Bob Havenstride. Is Bob in here? Some of you don't even know old Bob. Bob Havenstride and his wife, Pat. Bob's 77 years old. I'm telling a story on him. He lives in Arkansas. He went to D.C. with us. He... came to the event on Saturday afternoon, went home 2.5 hours, and drove 2.5 hours back to be part of the church service on Sunday, and gave us a testimony, unbelievable testimony. I don't know if Bob's in here. Bob, your one day a chance to come on and be let everybody know your story. You're probably sleeping in. I don't blame you if you did. It was 2.5 hours in, two and a half hours out. And
yeah.
Hey, Bob. Well, good morning, Bob. If you would, just take a minute. Folks, this is the kind of stuff that really, really encourages me. Because I walked in that church, and there was Bob. And I thought, Bob, where'd you stay last night? So I did. I drove home, and I drove back. I thought, what? But I gave Bob an opportunity to stand up and speak yesterday, just share his heart a little bit. Bob, share with folks the experience that you had yesterday coming to the event on Sunday morning.
Yeah, brother, it was fantastic. I say I was born again maybe 40, 50 years ago or whatever. It's been a long time, but
you're You're 77 years old, right, Bob? 77?
Well, I'll be 75. 75 I'm in sorry. April, brother.
75 in April. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But anyway, driving up there, I mean, I had the best talk with the Lord, or the Lord had a talk with me. I mean, it was, I can't put it in words. It was almost more than I could take. I don't know if you've ever been there, but
yeah, I've been
when
there.
You get this download, you talk about downloads and that. It's like when you get something downloaded from the Lord like that, it's unbelievable. But I don't know. I got thinking, you know, about I'm kind of like one guy down here in Boone County, Arkansas, and thinking January 6th coming up, and what are we going to do? What am I going to do? You know, I mean, I was there on the 6th in D.C., and I see all that's happened. I watched that movie that guy made and all that, and it's so clear that was a staged event. And so January 6th coming up, I just don't want to see it go by and just go by and nothing ever happens, you know. But I think, like Ohio Brent's talking, if every county in this country did something to show that January 6th was a major turnaround in our country or cover-up of truth or whatever you want to call it, I say it's a takeover of the headquarters of our country. Amen. Our White House took over, you know. And right on down the line. So anyway, the Lord said, and I thought, well, if I stand up by the highway with a sign, what would I put on it? Well, we appreciate freedom, or thank God for our soldiers that's given their lives, and you know, or what? What could you put up there? And he just told me, maybe the three words: what really happened, January 6th, 2021. What really happened? And that, just that question, you know, goes deep into what really happened. And he even showed me what really happened in my life and what really happened, you know, what you talk about every day in our schools and the government and society and what really happened. But anyway, I'm still, the Lord's still talking to me about it. And I don't know, but I don't want to let January 6th go by.
77-year-old. Bob, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No, I'm down, brother. That's about it.
You just so encouraged me, you know. And I've, Bob, and there I was standing there talking, looking at Bob, and Bob was looking at me, and he, you know, he came to the reality of how many years does he have left? How many years?
Right.
And he said, the truth of it is, what really happened? And not what really happened on January 6th, but what really happened in America? What has really happened to us, folks? What really happened? I think that is a profound, profound question. What really happened in our schools? How did we lose our schools? What really happened? What really happened in our government? What really happened to us, folks? Something really happened. What is it? Those are the questions we have to begin to ask ourselves, instead of them always talking about whether we're going to go back to whether it's going to be a new normal or things are ever going to be normal again. What really happened? What really happened? What really happened with John F. Kennedy? What really happened when we went to the, what really happened at 9-1-1? What really happened at Waco? We could go on and on and on and on and on, couldn't we? What really happened? What really happened? I don't know about you, I'd kind of like to get to the bottom of what really happened. Because if we don't get to the bottom of what really happened, we're never going to be able to fix anything. What really happened that Jesus got overthrown? What really happened? Say, Coach, he didn't get overthrown. No, well, no, he didn't. But his church sure did. His church sure got overthrown. What really happened? Bob, I think that's profound. And I want you to know, Bob, that you encourage me more than you'll ever know. When you got that kind of energy of your age to drive up 2.5 hours, to drive back 2.5 hours, then to drive up the next morning 2.5 hours and drive back the next 2.5 hours at 74 years old, what's wrong with the rest of you? Huh? What's wrong with the rest of you? What really happened? We can't sit around and remain silent about it anymore. Anything else, Bob, you want to say?
No, sir. That's it. I just thank you for what you're doing and what everybody else is doing here. I've probably been listening for, I don't know, 5 years or something, but it's incredible the amount of knowledge and wisdom that's coming out through your show. Right. And I appreciate everybody. Thank you. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
And Bob, you can take a sign. You can go stand out right in front of your house and over if you have to. That's a statement in itself, isn't it, friends? Isn't that a statement in itself? And that's exactly what has to happen. And, you know, I say I'll hire Brett, and I'm going to get him here in a second because we are organizing January 6th just to do that. Celebrate Freedom Day. Celebrate Freedom Day. And we're going to ask ourselves, Bob, what really happened? What really happened in this race war? Where the hell did this race war come from? I didn't start it. Who started this race war? What really happened, friends? We now know that we have controlled media. And so you never really find out what really happened anymore, did it? But we know this, it's the truth that's going to set you free. So we're going to begin talking more and more and more about January 6th and what we're going to do to celebrate Freedom Day. But that's not what I want to camp on today. So let me stop right there. I got a slew of you want to jump in here real quick. Let's do that and then we'll move on. Come on in, Myra. Good morning, Myra.
Good morning, Saints. How you doing?
What really happened? That's what I want to know. What really happened?
Ray, thanks for the meeting last night. Also, Coach, you asked last Friday, how was the meeting on Thursday? You wanted some type of feedback. And I want to make sure I don't disrespect you because I care so much about the group. And whatever you said matters a lot to me. It was a great session as usual. And what my interpretation of the session was that we are loyal to each other and we can trust in each other within the self and light by grace. And also, take it to the Lord in prayer. Elijah's dreams have all the prophets coming in, and they're saying it's going to be a 24-hour period of darkness. Mm. Whenever that occurs. And take it to the Lord in prayer. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, Myra. Don't you love soldiers like Myra? Don't you love them? See, I'm not interested in those rich donors sitting on the front row. Give me 1,000 Myras, will you?
Amen.
Give me 1,000 Myras, baby. That's how you win right there. That's how you win. Go on in, Kim. You have to unmute, Kimberly. Bobby Lee, come in while Kim's getting it figured out. Come on in, Bobby.
Yeah, what really happened is an ongoing repeat of decade after decade when Larry Finnegan, that was involved with the Bundys several years back, that everybody wants to forget about or has forgotten about, when he gets out of the vehicle with his hands up and the FBI just execute him right in the snow. That's what those things continually really happen.
They really happen, Bobby. They really, really happen, man. That's right. Kimberly, you in?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
There you go, dear. Good morning.
Praise God, some great shows last week. We've been, our church, and you've been there, we're reading through the Bible chronologically this year, and we've been really digging in with David and Saul, and it's just been amazing because it's really where we are. We need our mighty men and women, and we need to go out because God has things for us to do, and it's just been encouraging for us to read through that and gain some strength spiritually. So thanks for all you're doing.
Amen, Kim. Thanks for being part of it. And God bless. There's something, hey, Brett, there's something going on up in that Buffalo area. I'm telling you, folks, there's an earthquake going up there with Surge and all those guys. Something's happening up in that area. And I don't know what it is, but something is bubbling up there. And we're excited to at least have our toes dipped in that water, trying to help with it a little bit. Joe Allen, come on in, Joe.
I tell you what's going to happen down here January 6th. We got a group of men going to be all over these freeways up here.
Amen.
Down here in South Carolina. And we're going to have the flags flying.
Standing on overpasses and standing on street corners, right?
Yes, I mean, sir.
You know, that's our celebrate freedom, man. Come on, America. This is up on the street corners, block by block, city by city, township by township. We've got to get our focus on making Jesus Christ Lord again right where we live.
Yeah,
just make him Lord right where we live. Folks, what if we did that? What if we made Jesus Lord right where we lived? What a start going to be, huh?
For January 6th, we're going to be there for 6 hours.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, listen, we're going to need all of you. In fact, I'm going to get Ohio Brett in here. I haven't spoken to Brett here for a while. Come on in, Brett. They're bubbling, Brett, for January 6th.
Wow, what an encouragement, Coach. Good morning, team. Bob, I'm so glad you had that time with the Lord. What really happened? What a beautiful question to ask. And for Celebrate Freedom Day on January 6th, across America, on the street corners, on the overpasses and parking lots, the ChristianRevolution.net, by tomorrow, we're going to have on our homepage there, it'll be right below the logo there. You'll have Celebrate Freedom. Jared's working on it right now. It'll be perfect, where we can briefly explain what's going to happen that day and why we're doing it. And Bob, we will ask the question across America, what really happened?
That's right. What a great question. What really happened? So, folks, we're doing the legwork on Celebrate Freedom. Just trust me that when we get it up on the website and everything boomed and ready to go, this is, folks, this is going to be so easy. This is going to be so easy. There's 126 people here. I wonder how many communities are represented in the 126 here. If each one of us did something. Brett believes we're going to do all 88 counties in Ohio. We're going to do it all across America. What if we had an event going on in every county in America? Why can't we? As Coach Norm would say, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't
you? Coach, it's happening. The Lord is moving. And whether it's California or I'm heading to Buffalo, and I was in Port St. Lucie yesterday meeting with the volunteer leader there. He wants to do the parking lot at wherever they play the baseball team comes down there for spring training. So you can pick your own spot, and we're going to make it happen.
We'll celebrate freedom. Amen. Thanks, Brett. God bless you. Pennsylvania, Brett. Let's go to a different state with a different Brett here. How you doing, Brett?
Hey, good morning, Coach. Good morning, everybody. Hey, I just had to throw out here Clay. Clay sent me his sermon from yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that too, Clay. I watched it on the airplane. Good job, man.
Yeah, he looked like he had done 1,000 of them already. He was so
he was so over prepped. He had more scriptures.
Good job, Clay. That's got to go on your the website, Coach.
We'll get it up there. Yeah. You know, that's it does my heart good. It just does my heart good. It's what coaching's all about, right? Replicate yourself. Clay's in a pulpit now. Are you kidding me? Ray's in a pulpit now. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's what's going on. Speaking the truth. Amen. Larry, come on in. Come on, Larry. You're muted. Larry's muted.
Tuesday night on our Friends of Liberty United national meeting, our topic of discussion is going to be, what do we do? What kind of program do we put together for our people and their, you know, where they're at and stuff? And what a beautiful thing. What a mix here. And Coach, I would like to invite you to our Tuesday night meeting to kind of put a little spark and motivate the ones that are there to get out and do even more to get groups put together to do this thing on January 6th.
Okay, gotta send me the info, Larry. Love to be part of it, folks. Okay. Folks, I'm happy to do that kind of stuff. If you got a Zoom call or anything like that, if there's any way that I can, I'll zoom in. You don't need me, but I understand me. I get it, and so I'm willing to come and give a little bit of energy to that call if you would like me to. Julie, come on in. Popped in there quick. I'm going somewhere this morning. Stay with me.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes, ma'am. Where are you from, Julie?
I'm from, where am I from?
Yeah.
I'm from Maine. Northern Maine. Yes.
I knew that. Go ahead, Julie.
I just want to thank you, Coach, for zooming in on our meeting on Saturday. With Camp Constitution / Huddle. We had a great turnout. It was awesome. Wish you could have been there in person, but appreciated you being there by Zoom. You gave a lot of energy to the room. And also we showed the Christian Revolution, the 3-minute blurb about what's going to be happening on January 6th. Mm-hmm. And people can do that all over the country.
Come on, man. This is of the Lord. That's right.
Yeah. Praise God. Thank you. I just wanted to thank you, and we love you, and I listen to you every day, and I just thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you, okay. Julia. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I just get overwhelmed. You know, I walk in there and I see face. I can't believe Bernie. There's Bernie, and his wife, and Randy, Kay, Joe, Bob. Does my heart good, man. You guys are real people, real dudes. Real folk out there trying to get it done. We're going to win this thing, man. We're going to win this thing. I want to shift gears. Listen, you can never talk about giving without making people nervous. So what I'm going to talk to you about right now, I don't want you to give. I don't want you to feel guilty and go give something. I don't want to talk about that. That's not the whole point. But the Lord really impressed it upon me. I don't know if you guys saw this. I'm sure you did see it. Pull up. It says Osteen. Pull that up, Spencer. Did you guys see this? in Joel Osteen's church this last weekend, or maybe a week ago now. About 15 years ago, 16 years ago, maybe 2004, I think it was, Joel Osteen, his church reported a theft of an offering, a theft in the neighborhood of, I don't know if they said how much it was, the theft. Well, this weekend, or last weekend, maybe it was now, they were having pipe problems in their restrooms at his church, Lakewood Church. So they call a plumber, which is what we all do. The toilet's not flushing or whatever it is. And the guy gets in there and he's working on the toilet and he gets down there and some tile pop out. He pulls some more tiles out and he gets down inside. This is, folks, this isn't a Babylonian Bee. This is a true story. The plumber gets in there. He says there was a loose toilet in the wall and we removed the tile. Went to go remove the toilet and I moved some insulation away and about 500 envelopes fell out of the wall. What? Yeah. I was like, oh, wow. So I got my flashlight. This is the plumber. And I shined up in there, he added. The envelopes were filled with cash and checks, according to the caller. He said he reported the find to the maintenance supervisor. So I went ahead and contacted the maintenance supervisor that was there, and I turned it all in. In March of 2014, Lakewood Church reported that $200,000 in cash and $400,000 in checks had been stolen, in addition to some credit card information. Well, lo and behold, they found it stuffed in the wall in the toilet. $600,000. And I thought a lot of things. How could you have $600,000 missing and keep going? $600,000. They just wrote it off like a tip at the hamburger joint, I suppose. I don't know if they were able to collect insurance on that. That's not the point. The point is this. The point is what has become of Christianity. Spencer, I want you to bring up the third thing down, megachurch politics. This is a documentary, How the Megachurch Destroyed Christianity. And it's really, really good. In fact, Spencer, tell Jared I want him to post this. But friends, I want to start at about the 22:50 mark. Spencer, you see it right there. Isn't it amazing? They show John MacArthur wearing a $6,300 watch. $6,300 watch, John MacArthur. And one of the things that I'm really, really uncomfortable with and about. You guys don't know me, my heart, so I could be blowing smoke at you. But I get really, really, I don't, as crazy as this sounds, I get really uncomfortable when people start to praise me in front of me. Makes me uncomfortable. Because we live too much in a celebrity-driven Christianity. Come on, friends. If I said, listen, we're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a meeting. Some speaker's going to be there and say, who's that speaker? And I say, speaker's going to be Mike Spalding. Ain't nobody going to come. I say, sorry, Mike. So, hey, that speaker's going to be Joel Osteen. They're going to flock like millions going to come. Because why? Because we have celebrity Christianity.
Boom.
Celebrity Christianity. And celebrity Christianity can be okay if it's used in the right way. If it's used to enhance the gospel, expand the gospel, promote it can be good. I have no problem with celebrities. But unfortunately, I believe this. My heart, I believe this. Many people go into the ministry because they want to be the next John MacArthur.
Amen.
They want to be the next Joel Osteen. They want to. The mega church has destroyed modern Christianity. It's destroyed it. And I'm going to, Spencer, if you can put this at about, folks, this is going to be about 5 minutes. And again, Spencer, if you can get Jared to put it up on our website. It's really, really good. It's only 34 minutes. But I'm going to kick this in. We're going to play about 6 minutes. And I just want you to the comparison that they make between the politicians who protect each other and the pastors who protect each other and the politicians who all work together and the pastors who who go to each other's conferences and feather one another's nests. John MacArthur will have a big conference and he'll invite all of his buddies and they all get a big paycheck and they'll all sell their books and all that. And then one of the other guys, he'll do it and they just go around and somebody say amen. You know what I'm talking about? You amen. Understand what I'm talking about? And not a one of them showing up in an abortion clinic. Not a one of them taking Joel Osteen didn't take that $600,000 and try to do it to do anything to impact the culture. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And again, so it's like, I want to be a star, right? I want to be a movie star or what's that, Dancing with the Stars or America's Got Talent. It's the desire inside all of us for all of us to want to be a star. We all want to be a star. We don't want to be like Craig Abtmeyer and go out and feed the homeless and nobody knowing about it, just doing it. We don't want to be that. We want to be Coach Dave. We want to be the star that everybody wants to come to see. It's destroying Christianity. It's destroying. Now, I understand from my perspective, I understand my influence. I understand that the people in Oklahoma or Missouri, wherever the heck I was, they're glad I came. They watched this show. Some of the people watch the show. They would like to meet me, but it makes me uncomfortable because it ain't about me. And as soon as we start making it about me or you start making it about you or whatever, we get into mess. Did I freeze up? Am I okay? Because some people are frozen. I'm sorry. Did I freeze up there for a second?
You're good, brother.
Okay. It looked like it froze up on my screen. I'm sorry. So I want to, this whole thing is really, really good. It's really, really good. How can you lose $600,000 and still go on? That's just one offering. One offering. One offering. Let me say this. I don't care about your money. I'm not talking about this, about your money. I'm not. I'm going to tell you this, the more you cling on to, instead of sending money to Joel Osteen or to pick your big star, whoever it would be, and letting them send it to somebody, why don't you send it to them? Why don't you write a $25 check to Myra? Why do you have to send it to me to write to Myra? Well, you say, we're going to send it to you because I don't know Myra's address. Okay, that makes sense, right? But we're taught to bear one another's burdens. And we're taught that in the church, the money's supposed to go into the storehouse, that there'd be meat in my house, be able to take care of one another. Joel Osteen taking care of the poor and doing, I don't know. John MacArthur's got a $6,300 watch on. He seems to be doing okay, right? I'm going to shut up and we're going to watch about 5 minutes of this clip. And I would encourage all of you. It's not on the website yet. We'll get it up there. This is called How the Mega Church Has Destroyed Christianity. That's why I love Bob Havenstreit. That's why I love Bob, because he's the church. He's the real church. Randy Lunsford's the real church. Huh? Kevin Van Story, there's the real church, folks. Dale Socia, there's the real church. Glenn Claremont, there's the real church. It ain't these big guys standing in the... It's not Christian stars. It ain't Tim Tebow. He's not the real church. God bless Tim Tebow for his witness. God bless him. But Tim Tebow ain't the real church. This team's made up of the Myras of the world. That's who it's made up of. It's made up of the Myras. It's made up of the Cindys. And it's made up of the mom and pops that get out there and do it. And that's how this whole Christian thing's going to be rebuilt. I'll shut up for a minute. I'll shut up for a minute. Go ahead and play this.
Everything becomes a big joke. Looking the other way to protect your friends in the face of demonstrable error is precisely the business of corrupt politicians. Megachurchianity and corrupt politics are guided by the same satanic principles. They must maintain the status quo despite the absurd contradiction. They are not governed by scripture, but by public relations strategies. Whoever action will maintain the greatest perception of good with their base is the action they take. They only take radical action if the enterprise itself is threatened, as we have seen recently in the Southern Baptist Convention. It is the fear of man which governs them. The chief priests and the Pharisees sought to lay hands on Jesus in Matthew 21, but feared the multitudes because many took him for a prophet. And because the multitudes took John the Baptist for a prophet, the chief priests and elders feared to speak otherwise. They were governed more by perception of the masses than they were any real conviction. As you can see, the guiding principles behind megachurchianity do not have a doctrinal bias. It is not the business of truth or error, but rather the business of business. Of course, wolves in sheep's clothing are attracted, but so are hirelings. Hirelings are not necessarily opposed to teaching truth, so long as there is a market for it. They are simply hypocrites and cowards. The moment the enterprise is threatened or stands to benefit, they will compromise, because success in business is what ultimately matters. It should be fairly obvious that money is perhaps the chief goal here. It simply must be. These organizations utterly cease to exist if hundreds of thousands of dollars are not collected on a weekly basis. These are multi-million dollar empires with many employees. While they pretend that they are supporting thousands of missionaries overseas, the reality is that most of these collected funds go to pay exorbitant salaries. Another massive chunk is poured into real estate and maintenance. Book publishing and conferences have become something of a necessity for them, and therefore it is quantity over quality. This entire network as we know it ceases to exist without a continuous and lavish flow of money. What many may not realize is that the overwhelming bulk of their money comes on Sunday morning. Online giving pales in comparison to the Sunday morning collection, and when there is no service for any reason, they are significantly impacted. They have created enterprises that simply cannot function whatsoever without it. If money is even a peripheral concern as it pertains to the dissemination of truth, it is already a problem of massive proportions, poised to muddy the waters of truth at some point. How much more when money is a central concern and the effective engine behind a so-called ministry? Believe me, this topic alone could merit a 3-hour video just to unpack all of the details. But this is mega churchianity. Its purveyors are made rich, and unashamedly so. Its fruit is increasingly rotten by every ethical and doctrinal metric. It always was and always will be the business of business. It can and does function without the power of the Holy Spirit, but it cannot operate without millions of dollars. The ministry of Jesus himself and his apostles was precisely the opposite. In fact, the early church proliferated in poverty. But how? Because the kingdom of God is not bound in finances, but in power and truth. It is true to say that money was and can be used as a tool, obviously. But if the work of ministry ceases or cannot be accomplished apart from millions of dollars per year, it has nothing to do with New Testament Christianity. The apostles had nothing but the words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they turned the world upside down. The megachurch encourages reliance on something other than the power of God, while cultivating hearts inclined toward covetousness and competition. They seek to sully the stewardship of your money by using it to fund all the godlessness we have seen in this video. It is all a snare for your soul. I want to reiterate again that this is more than just outward success or realization, but begins with a mindset, a disposition of the heart. Just because a new church, so-called, is small, doesn't mean they don't have every intention and ambition of the megachurch. They will employ the same gimmicks and methods to ensure their success and inclusion into this world. And whether they have achieved it yet or not, they are as evil as the worst outward version of it. It all begins in the heart. And it is all part of spiritual Babylon. Though this is not intended to be an exhaustive exposition, it is worth acknowledging the very clear and undeniable parallels between Babylon the Great and mega-churchianity, as illuminated in Revelation chapter 18. Babylon the Great is described as having become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. We are further told that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, and that in the same measure torment and sorrow would be given to her. And the warning and exhortation is given, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues." May everyone watching take heed, especially those who are immersed as we speak. The world we have just seen is a sort of spiritual Babylon, if there ever was one. And the fate of Babylon the Great will be the fate of the megachurch world, its own great city. And the Lord gives his people a chance to come out before it is utterly destroyed. To be sympathetic to the world of the megachurch system is to share in her sins and will be to receive of her plagues. God calls those whom he regards as his people to listen and to come out. But if they refuse, they will partake in the same evil and receive the same judgment. The Lord is merciful to send warnings before judgment, yet if Lot had remained in Sodom, he too would have been destroyed by fire and brimstone. And his wife, though having escaped the physical locality, left her heart there and was subsequently destroyed, simply for looking back. This may be the final warning for many who are watching this. God is not only not pleased, but is in fact angry, and will judge it all accordingly. But if you harden your hearts to this warning, the Lord will give you over to your own desires. Has the Lord worked in the lives of some people despite the corruptions of the megachurch world? I believe so. Does that mean that he approves of these corruptions? Absolutely not. People often make the grave error of misattributing fruit or blessing in their lives to an entity or a man rather than to God himself. I personally was once involved in this world as a new Christian. I didn't know better, and I went where I thought was best at the time. The Lord graciously showed me truths from His Word and allowed me to grow in grace and truth, but over time, He also revealed quite clearly that the corruption was rampant and that I needed to remove myself from it before I too became leavened with its corruption. Perhaps the Lord has been showing you for some time that there are problems which are so deep and so irreconcilable with His Word that you have been agitated and perhaps confused. Listen to these words again. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. If we do not hate what God hates, then it is impossible that we truly love what He loves. We cannot worship the Lord in spirit and in truth if we sympathize with a corrupt network which is rooted in making merchandise off the name of Jesus and which bears the sort of fruit we have seen here. May God confirm these things to all who have ears to hear, and may the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in the process.
Amen. 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 You know, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be Mickey Mantle. Today they want to be LeBron James. They want to be Patrick Mahomes. They want to be, and unfortunately we got pastors that want to be Joel Osteen. They want to be stars. And celebrity Christianity is destroying us. Real quickly, I want to get Dale in here. Real quickly, go to, where is it? Bottom one, world's richest pastors. I want to be like Mike, right? I want to be like Mike. You know why they say there's nothing wrong with being rich? Because they're rich. Nothing wrong with being rich. They're rich. Joyce Meyer, let's go through quickly. 10 richest pastors in America. This is in 2018, I think it was. Joyce Meyer's worth $8 million. Franklin Graham, $10 million. Hey, go to the top of this if you can real quick. I got to get the date on this. What's the date? This is an old one, man. That's 2018. Ooh, wonder how much money they've made since then. Wonder how much money they've taken in from the government since then. Go ahead. Joyce, $8 million. She's a piker. Franklin Graham, he's only worth $10 million. T.D. Jakes, he's only worth $20 million. Rick Warren, $25 million. Jake, you got to catch up to him. Billy Graham, he's dead. $25 million, Billy Graham. Creflo Dollar, $27 million. Doing pretty good there, Creflo. Benny Hinn, $60 million net worth. Joel Osteen, $100 million. No wonder he didn't miss that $600,000. Pat Robertson, $100 million. You ready? Number one, Kenneth Copeland, $300 million. In fact, Kenneth says he's a billionaire. Folks, this is destroyed. I think of Dale Socia. I think of these bivocational pastors who work a job and pastor a church.
Amen.
And I have to wonder in my own heart, as I examine what goes on even around me, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I saw a guy I really love and really respect who was a bivocational pastor and just announced yesterday he can quit his job. He can now go pastor full-time. Why can he go pastor full-time? Well, we know why. Because more money's coming in. He can get more money. That's the trap we fall into, see? That's the trap. And so it's that carnal nature. It's hard for all of us. It's covetousness. It's hard for all of us. It's hard for all of us. Think of what the good that could be done with Kenneth Copeland's $300 million. Not that he's not doing good, but really? $300 million? Really?
Amen.
Come on in, Dale, because I know Dale Socia is a bivocational pastor. He puts in floors. He builds roofs. Bill Dunphy does the same thing. They work and then pastor a church. Dale, how do you fight this urge to do this, bud? Can't hear you, man. Hope you didn't drop off on me. Revelation 20:15. Come on in. Dale must have hit the wrong button. Come on in.
I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button, Coach. It grieves me to the core. It grieves me literally to the core. And I appreciate you and Chad who reached out. Brother, I was on a time frame of permitting at my son's house. I was getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning fixing what I sent you the pictures of. But here's the thing. When I look at something like this and I'm like, wait a minute, that money didn't just get in the wall. And it wasn't just one person. Brother, there was a scene of a team that was behind that nefariousness to get that stuff.
Dale, can you imagine just carrying the envelopes? How much effort that would take?
Right? And you know who's more has more godly character than any of them morons is that plumber. He could have took that money and walked away. Nobody would have known nothing. And nobody would have dared coming after him because of those checks had the date of that. That was a planned thing. But what really grieves me is that Jeremiah chapter 5, in the end, it says, my prophets prophesy falsely, my priests rule on their own accord, and my people love it so. Brother, why is there not a mass exodus from that church this week? Why is there not FBI swooped down in there with a massive rip the walls apart? Okay, that's the bathroom wall. What about another wall? Do you understand what I'm saying, brother?
I get it, man. Bring all those walls down, right?
Hey, brother, I will not stop working because it is God has shown me the avenue that when I put my hands to doing work out there like this, it has kept me in connection with people to be able to minister to people who would never cross the thresholds of a church.
That's right, brother. That's right. That's why you're the real deal. Jump on in here. Let's see, where am I? Reggie, come on in.
Good morning. There's a difference. Coach, I made some notes, so bear with me. Just real quick, because the smaller guys right here, like Dale, they're real pastors. What you're seeing and what you're talking about here are generations of Masons. So John MacArthur, he's the son of Jack MacArthur, John Doctor. So Billy Graham is the son of, or Franklin Graham's the son of, they're all working together. They're Freemasons. They're building a global network. They're not pastoring anybody. They're all part of the apostate ecumenical movement. So they are all part of the Fuller Theological Seminary, which breaks down to, out of that came the U.S. Center for World Mission. Billy Graham and Rick Warren were on the board of trustees. Then you come to Charles Fuller, who co-founded the NAE, which revived the World Evangelical Alliance. You start going back down the line, and then it's the shadow government. So the World Evangelical Alliance is the shadow government to the Lucan movement, which goes back to Alice Bailey. Do you know who Alice Bailey is?
Yep.
That's why you're seeing what you're seeing. And on the other hand of it, where I work, they all traffic. And I know people go, you can't say all. They all traffic children. So not all their money comes from the pews. It comes from child trafficking.
Well, they didn't miss 600,000. They didn't even miss it. They didn't even miss 600,000. Right. And so, you know, young people in particular, they're drawn to this mega hype, folks. It's a false Christianity. It's a false Christianity. It's no wonder we're not effective. Now, I was, you know, my heart was grieving as I was watching the video of those mega churches and abortion still legal. Those mega churches and abortion still legal. Those mega churches and homosexuality being taught to our children. Matt Tice, haven't heard from you in a while. Come on in, Matt. Good to hear from you. Boy, lighten up.
Take me a little bit here to figure things out. Can you hear me?
I got you, man. Hang on, Matt. Okay. Hang on. Let's get ready. Let's go. Randy Lunsford after him. So you'll be ready to go when the first guy's done. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. Dave, good. That was a good presentation. The probably what goes along with all the money making is the number one problem in the church. It's been there for the last 60, 70 years. And that is the ultimate lie that God loves everybody unconditionally.
Yep.
That is the ultimate pandemic in this nation. That is preached every Sunday by almost every preacher. God loves everybody. And what happens when the preacher says that? The people open up their wallets and give, give, give. Mm. Because they can do whatever they want to do and God loves them anyway. And the preacher preaches that and verifies it for them and says, go for it, boys. You do whatever you want to do. Just give me your money and God will love you just the way you are. The ultimate pandemic, the ultimate lie.
Thanks, Matt. So one of the points I wanted to make this morning, I'm going to run out of time. I wanted to talk today about tithing. I wanted to talk about tithing because, listen, friends, my opinion, I'll get to you here, folks. Stay with me. My opinion, Christians have turned tithing into like paying dues to the American Legion. I paid my dues. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to pay my tithe, pay my dues, and then I got no obligations. I'll pay my dues. I'm part of the, what do they call those, one of those home neighborhood watch things. What are those called? HOFs. I'm one of those. I paid my dues. I'm going to tell you this. My opinion, okay? My opinion, tithing is not biblical. It's not biblical. Giving is. Giving is. Tithing, not giving, is. When you tithe out of duty, 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 it's religion. Give and it shall be given unto you. It doesn't say tithe and it shall be given unto you. It says give and it shall be given unto you. Heaped up, pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom. You tithe to the church. You give your money to the church. You paid your dues at the church. And then the hell with everything else, I paid my dues. Oh, you need help? Go to my church. I paid dues there. They got a lot of money to give it to you. But they don't have a lot of money to give to you because they got smoke machines and 850 people on staff. And it's become a business. And I'm not for tithing. I'm forgiving. I'm not for tithing. I'm going to tell you something, friends. You better start choking. You better start starving that church that you're giving money to. If they ain't doing it, it's time for you to start starving them. Remember this. The Bible says, heaped up, pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Men are going to give into your bosom. Heaped up, pressed down, running over. But they live off of what you give them. Hey, listen, I do too. Our ministry does that, right? But I don't tell you to tithe. I don't tell you to do that. And go check our records. We give it out. We flow it out. We don't have smoke machines in a big building, and we don't do any 16 people on staff and a music ministry here and a music ministry. We don't have that. Why? Because we give. It flows through us. Comes to us to go through us. Then come to us to give it to the church to do something with it. Tithe, my opinion. I won't say what I'm thinking. I won't say it. Come on in, Debbie.
Well, to me, tithing has always been, I'll give something on Sunday, but first of all, I have to, but I won't sign the tithing commitment card because I don't always agree with what they give.
Okay.
And so when I give to you, to Chad, to the $20, to the HEB truck driver that the Lord led me to, that's giving.
That's right.
That's how I go.
Tithing's legalism, folks. Tithing's Old Testament. Bring up Malachi real quick. I'm sorry. I know you want to get in here. I'm not going to apologize. Let me get this out of me. Folks, listen. I don't have time, do I? Behold, I'll send my messenger, shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom he shall seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even on down through. Going down, he said, it's refiner's fire, going down, because they love to do this one, right? And I'll come to you in judgment, and I'll be swift witness. He's telling people that they're going to be judged. And why are they going to be judged? They're going to be judged because they have not followed the law. They have not followed the precepts of the law. Even from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from mine ordinances. You haven't kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. You said, well, how can we return? And then he says, okay, well, let me give you an example. Will a man rob God? This is not about tithing. This is not about tithing. Will a man rob God? Well, you've robbed me. But you said, well, where have we robbed you? So, okay, I'll give you an example. Tithes and offerings. You robbed me there. It says you're cursed with a curse, for you robbed me. Even this whole nation. See, you're not cursed because you didn't tithe. You're cursed because you robbed. Lord, some of you are mad already. It says bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring all the tithes into Joel Osteen's church so somebody can steal it and hide it behind the toilet. They got so much money they don't even miss $600,000. Hide it behind the toilet. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Hey, Larry, why would there be meat in the house? Probably because they want to hand out the meat to people who need it. You go to your church and try to get them to give you some money when you need it, huh? He says, well, you prove me now where the said the Lord of hosts. See if I'm not going to open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, shall not be read to him. Be room enough to receive it. And I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. You shall destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall you vine cast your fruit before the time if you stop robbing, not tithing. Oh, God loves a cheerful giver, not a cheerful tither. He loves a cheerful giver, not a cheerful tither. Oh, Coach, I'd love to give more money to pass this off, but you know, I just gave all of it to my parents. I tithed to my church. I'm not asking for your money. Relax. It's not about me asking you for money. It's about me trying to set you free. If you really want to be set free, quit tithing and give to those who need it. Just write a check out to somebody you know who's struggling. Look around you and find somebody that's got five kids and the mother's staying home and homeschooling and they're doing everything to meet ends need. Drop them a freaking $250 in a check. Just send it in the mail to them. Give to people. Don't give to organizations. I really feel this. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Amen to what you're saying. And you mentioned about, you know, oh, I'm sure that Joel Osteen's church is doing some good and stuff like that. Well, I'm not sure they're doing any good.
I'm not either.
When you read in Matthew chapter 25, and Jesus is talking about the judgment where he separates the sheep from the goats, he tells the sheep, you know, you did this, you visited me in prison, you fed and all that and everything. And they say, well, when did we do that? And he says, whenever you did it to the least of these, my brethren, when you did it to my people, when you did it to my people, it counted for good. And then the other people that he sends to hell, they say, well, who, you know, when did we see you and we didn't help you out or something like that? And it was the same, my people, I guarantee you. You can do the right thing to the wrong person, and what you're doing is you're giving God's blessings right back to Satan. So you've got to make sure that what God blesses you with, you keep it in the family of God. Read Matthew 25.
Heaped up, pressed down, running over shall men, not the church, not the government, given to your bosom. We're supposed to be helping to supply all of the needs of everybody in here, friends. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Julie, come on in, then Randy. Then Gracie. Oh. Julie, Randy, and Gracie. I like it. Go.
Okay. I just wanted to say you're right on. There are some... I go to the Salvation Army Church, and I know right now things are being said about the church that are not true. But anyway, having said that, I feel that they give to everybody, okay? And we need to give with a happy heart, like you said. We need to hold on to it loosely, and we also need to remember that God owns it all. We don't own it all, okay? And we just need to be good stewards.
Folks, let me help you out here. Let me help you out here. I'm sorry. Listen, let me help you out here. You don't have to give to any institution. Look around you and see people that need help and give them money. Write them a check. Don't write a check to Goodwill to give it to somebody. Write the check directly to the person. Say, well, I don't get a tax write-off. Well, your heart's wrong then. That's wrong. Go on, Randy. Didn't hear me. Randy. No. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, we do that Tuesday night church in the garage. I squeegee the oil and antifreeze off the floors, hang a clean towel in the women's bathroom because the mechanics got it all greasy. Pastor Bill drives up here after he gets off work at 5:30. 6 o'clock, he walks in with drywall dust all over him or paint on him. And we have run 20, 25 people, and the people love it because it's very simple. You've got one guy in there who doesn't even go to a church, but he's always there. Like Pastor Bill said, he said his garage is his church.
Well, it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. This is supposed to be. Randy, come in. No? His hand's up. Can't get in. Joe Allen.
When they activate Agenda 30, on the glossary of Agenda 30, is these false hirelings that are going to turn in these people that are giving.
Oh, yeah, they're going to fall in line then, huh?
So they keep on giving with these pastors.
500 employees, yeah, I get it. Come on in, Craig, as many zeros as you want today. We're counting money here today.
Okay, remember, Coach, Jesus didn't give them a little truth.
He gave him the whole truth, and it's the whole truth that will set you free.
It will, brother. It will. Look, I'm not against giving money to churches. It's not about that. But see, what's ruined us, right, is the guys out there, the Bill Dunphys and the Tom Gills and the Clint Harpers, the guys that are out there working hard trying to build churches, and you see all these mega churches and this prosperity and money. You tell me it doesn't hurt your heart. So what am I doing wrong here, Lord? What am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. The model's wrong. Your role model is wrong.
Amen.
Some of you right now today, write somebody a check. Don't send it to me. Somebody, you know somebody. You know somebody in your realm who needs help. Look around. Look at that homeschool mother who's given up her career to be home with his kids. And the dad's working a job. And the mom's taking care of the kids. You don't think they had any money? Going to send it to some pastor making it $75,000 and hope he divvies it out? God help us. God help us. Hey, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, not a cheerful tither. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.